Good afternoon, 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop. This Wednesday, the first day of August, I'm Brian Shields. Joining us this afternoon, physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew owns a practice in Saratoga Springs, New York. He is here in the studio taking your calls and your emails, your questions about orthopedics and sports medicine. If you have an aching knee, a barking shoulder, or back, give us a call, 800-348-2551. The number to call again is 800-348-2551. Physical therapy today on Vox Pop. Number to call, 800-348-2551. Your call is coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. Today, physical therapist Matthew Goodemote is our guest. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs, New York. His 20 years of experience includes exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. If you have an ache or pain that you think physical therapy just might help, give us a call, 800-348-2551. Again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. But the number to call this afternoon is 800-348-2551. Matthew, thanks for coming back today.
Thank you.
This time of the year, the summer, people get out more often. Do you see a lot of business as people make their mistakes and fall down on their bikes and they run and they get in trouble?
Yeah, we have quite a few runners right now that come into the clinic. There's a lot of people training for triathlons, local summer races. And one of the things I've noticed in the clinic is a series of problems in the hip area. And about 2 years ago, I had this runner that came in and was diagnosed with a condition called IT band syndrome. That stands for iliotibial band. It's pretty common with runners. But what happened this particular day was I was trying to do some manual work, and I wasn't getting to the kind of the root of the problem. And I positioned my hands in this unique way where I put my hands on the pelvic bone. And when I did that, she got relief. And I realized that the pain wasn't coming from the outer part of the hip, but it was actually coming from inside the pelvis. And there's a muscle inside there called the iliacus. And so when I noticed that, I started to experiment with my patients that were coming in. And I ended up terming this called runner's hip, which I regret a little bit because it doesn't just happen with runners.
Right.
But the very specific location of symptoms in the hip and lower back area. And it does occur a lot with runners, with triathletes, things like that. But I also notice people who are driving in the car, they tend to turn their knee out. You know how you sit relaxed and your knee kind of drops out. And that particular muscle up there is often the source of the pain, at least contributing to the pain, I should say.
Runners put much of their pressure right on their foot. The knee takes a lot of it.
Yeah.
So why is it the hip that's hurting?
What I think, there's a few different things I think. One is we sit a lot, of course. Mm-hmm. And so somewhat has to do with our posture and how we hold our pelvis. And then we get up to go run and we don't correct that necessarily. So if you slouch a lot, your posture, you tend to round the lower back. And another thing I notice with most of these runners, their foot is turned out. So their hip is externally rotated. And when the hip is externally rotated, those muscles in the pelvis are working harder to try to get that leg to keep moving forward. And that's what I think is, at least, again, contributing to the problem.
800-348-2551. Are most of your clients, most of the people who come in, is it the result of injuries that they suffered running or doing something? Or is it just simple wear and tear? We're all getting older. After a while, the bones, the joints, the hips, they just start wearing out and giving up.
I think the number one reason I see people, my specialty is a spine, so I see a lot of people, and the number one reason is no apparent reason. So there's not a direct cause necessarily. There's a contributing group of factors, poor postural habits, inactivity, those type of things. And when they come together in a clump, then people start to develop these little aches and pains. Degeneration of the joint, it's actually, I think, more inactivity related than activity related because our joints get the nutrition through movement. And the cartilage in our knee, for example, if you look in people in the Western societies, they have a lot more problems with their knees than places in Asia. But people in Asia do a full-on squat. so they sit down and they squat to go to the bathroom, things like that. Mm-hmm. And they don't tend to have the same type of problems we do in the West. So I think a lot of it has to do with, certainly in America, we're overweight and then we're sedentary. And then we try to go out and exercise and we're not always in the best condition to do that and develop these problems.
Whenever you start an exercise program or you haven't exercised in a while and you do so, you're sore the next day.
Most times, yeah.
For maybe 2 days.
Correct.
Is it just simply the muscles aren't used to it?
That's one of the ways we tell. So if you go into the gym and you exercise and you're sore for 24 to 48 hours, we would consider that normal.
Right.
If you're sore for 72 hours or beyond, we would not consider that normal. And also the joints shouldn't be more sore. It would be soreness in the muscle belly themselves, so the meat of the thigh, for example, as opposed to the knee joint or the elbow or shoulder joints.
Is pain normal? I mean, for lack of a better term, for instance, is it a warning?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's these stories of people who are born without the ability to sense pain, and very rarely do they live past the age of 30. So pain is, I call it a guide. So I use it that way. Pain that lasts is more of a concern to me than the intensity of pain. Because if we know, again, if it goes past 72 hours, then we know something's wrong there and we've got to address what that problem is.
800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Our first caller is Tim in Poughkeepsie. Go ahead, Tim.
Hello, doctor.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was enjoying my favorite activity, which is mountain biking, and this was this last Sunday. And I was riding and had an unexpected dismount.
Oh, boy.
That's off the trail to my right, and there was not much there for me to fall onto. I had a straight leg, and I fell down. The leg went down maybe 3 feet or so.
Okay.
And the left foot was still probably attached to the bike for a short while. And so what I did was an awkward split.
Oh, nice.
So at the time, I immediately felt a popping, snapping light. That was slight, but I felt it for sure in my gluteus.
Okay.
Left gluteus.
Yep.
And it's been getting better. So this is 3 days ago.
Yeah.
I'm getting better. I was just wondering if you, what insight you can provide on.
Well, first of all, where in the gluteus, like the top part up by the. Go ahead.
Top, I would say top of the leg, center of the left gluteus.
Okay. So the center could be a couple things. Your hip joint, it could actually be in describing your injury where you're stuck on the bike. The hip joint, I had early in my career two patients that came in back-to-back with deep buttock pain, and both of them had some injury to their hip joint. But your hamstring also—
I'm not experiencing pain.
Okay. So—
I do experience pain if I push it right now, like, for instance, getting out of a chair.
Yep.
Sitting or standing upright from a seated position
okay.
is getting easier, but
good.
That's when I would experience discomfort.
Okay. And when you move
otherwise,
your knee,
no pain.
If you move your knee in towards the other knee and then out away from your body, any problem doing that?
No, just slight resistance. And I have a slight resistance that's decreasing in my effort to touch my left
Right. Yeah, so the first thing I like to recommend is to restore motion. So I would look to restore motion in the muscle as well as if there's any limitation in the joint due to the injury to the muscle. So doing just basic stretches for the buttock muscles and the piriformis muscles. Also, I would do hamstring stretches as well. And to speed the process up, at this stage, I would be using heat. Heat is blood flow, and you want to encourage as much blood flow as you could possibly get in there. And then as it continues to get better, you just start to do general exercise. And after
that would be alternating heat?
I'm a big fan of heat. I don't do a lot of ice at this stage. I would recommend more heat at this stage. Again, if it's muscular, you're trying to get blood flow to the area. And after a couple more days, I would start to do what I call activation exercises, which are specific for the glute muscles.
And how about walking? Do you think if I'm not experiencing pain now,
correct.
Walking would be okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One last question on that. Do you have any thoughts on Chinese herbal medicine in the form of a medicated plaster that is sucked to an area such as this?
Yeah, I'm not great on those areas, so I wouldn't know how to tell you one way or another.
Thank you for calling,
Thanks
Tim.
Thanks for your time.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. 800, you mentioned heat or ice. How do you decide what works for what doesn't work?
Yeah. Great question. This is a slight controversy, but literally this weekend I read an article, and it is regarding heat and the effectiveness in recovery from injury. Ice I generally recommend for the first 24 to 48 hours maximum after a specific injury. And the idea behind the ice is to reduce inflammation, and I use it more for to numb it. So it's an analgesic. It will stop the pain. But heat is blood flow. So if you're trying to encourage healing, you want to increase blood flow to the area. So I'm often recommending that. And the other thing I like is compression. So if you have swelling, you can wear compression all day, and that can help to get rid of the swelling.
800-348-2551, the number to call. Physical Therapy Today with physical therapist Matthew Gudimot. 800-348-2551. More calls in one moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association. Helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley, we conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Mother Earth Storehouse, serving the Hudson Valley, offering organic and natural items and a selection of bulk items, including pasta, dried fruits, trail mix, coffee, tea, and spices. MotherEarthStorehouse.com. Culligan Water of Lenox, providing purified drinking water to the Berkshires and beyond for over 80 years. You could give your people Culligan Water. See CulliganNewEngland.com for information. Pelham Auto Service, at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig. A worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. 20 Railroad Public House, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, providing local and seasonably inspired pub fare using antibiotic and added hormone-free meats, local produce, craft beer, cocktails, and wine. 20railroad.com.
It's Physical Therapy Today with physical therapist Matthew Gudimot. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. And let's go to Warwick. Caitlin, go ahead, Caitlin.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. You're welcome.
So I'm a 29-year-old with an old ACL surgical repair on my left knee. Mm-hmm. And now my hip on the same side is killing me. And I don't know why and if it's related and what to do to fix it.
When you say hip, where do you mean hip?
It's pretty deep, the pain.
Okay.
Like if you make the number four with your legs and bend, I can feel it with that stretch.
Okay.
Significantly.
So there's a couple different things. The knee joint certainly is influenced from the hip. And there are occasions where, especially if the surgery was a while back, that perhaps you didn't get the full recovery of function, I'd say. So you didn't restore strength all the way. And so if you have some issues at the hip, it's going to influence the knee. It's rare, in my opinion, for the knee to influence that part of the hip, though. So my guess is it has to do, not necessarily related, but it could be connected in the sense that you didn't restore your strength all the way. The first thing, as I said in the last caller, that I'm looking to do is to be able to restore the motion. And where you're describing those symptoms, that could actually be coming from your back as opposed to your hip. So the hip tends to be the groin area. And a lot of times when people come in and say the hip, they are pointing towards their butt area, and that usually is more stemming from the back. And then I wouldn't connect this immediately to the ACL. It'd be one of those things I would look into, but I would start more proximal and then work my way down towards the knee.
You think it could be like sciatica-ish?
Sciatica
is... Because it runs down my whole leg, really, but it's
yeah, does it go below the knee?
In my hip.
Does it go below the knee?
It goes like... It starts from the outside of my hip and goes into the inside of my knee and down into my ankle.
Yeah, that definitely could be some nerve-related issue there, yeah. The ACL, especially if it's an old injury at this stage, would be more just in the knee itself. So based on where you're describing, that's not a sciatica tends to be more in the back of the leg, but the nerves do cross over and radiate down. That would just be a higher nerve, and it might even, it would be warranted to have someone take a look for sure.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551, the number to call. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Speaking of emails, what are some of the more common ailments for those throwing the baseball or the softball as the amateur baseball and softball leagues are nearing their end?
The most common is going to be the shoulder and then elbow, especially with baseball players, especially young baseball players. A lot of times they're overthrowing, so they're doing too many throws, and not a lot of people are doing proper warm-ups either. But one of my favorite stories about that, though, is one of my teachers treated a professional baseball player with a shoulder injury, and he had gone out to the ballpark to watch him throw the ball. And when he evaluated him, his first question to him was, "What's wrong with your ankle?" And the guy said, "What are you talking about? I'm here for my shoulder." And he noticed that when he came off the mound, he wasn't using his lower foot properly, so he dropped his shoulder down, hence the shoulder pain. So, and the pitcher had just sprained his ankle a few weeks earlier, so you restore the ankle and you can throw the ball better.
I would think the famous Tommy John surgery is like the last thing you want, the last thing, but that's probably the final stop, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not as common for like a recreational player. It could be, especially if they've had some previous injury and things. So.
You know, I never want a surgical procedure named after me. Thank you. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. 800-348-2551. And Bill in Saratoga. Bill, go ahead.
Hello. My question concerns, I'm 70. I've been riding a bike for 40 years, and I get, let's say, 3,500 miles a year.
Wow.
So I'm not real great, but I'm more than most people.
Yep.
Recently, like the last year or so, my veins pop out, like, in the afternoon. And, like, not, and I'll be out, and then they'll go back to normal.
Uh-huh.
So it's like so I don't know whether that's showing that something's wrong or
this is while you're riding your bike?
No, after. Like I'll get off the bike and I'll take a bath and I'll go eat something.
Yep.
And then I'll notice that the veins are out. And also sometimes after I eat lunch, I'll be fine. And then like the insides of my legs might cramp up a little bit.
Huh.
I don't know whether
with exercise, it's definitely normal for the veins to pop out. That's circulation happening, and it can linger on certainly for a while after you're done riding as your cardiovascular system rebounds from the biking. I'm not sure about the after food part and the cramping in the leg part, though. And one of the things you want to make sure at your age is that if you're having any type of issue with the veins that you're concerned about, you should check it out with the doctor, because there's lots of reasons that people have issues with their circulation, especially as we get older.
Oh, and okay. So, well, it goes back to normal later on. The other thing is, do you have an opinion on this compression socks and that stuff? I do use that.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah, I'm a big fan of compression.
Better.
Yeah, compression, especially those socks, it's a light kind of compression, and it's generally considered safe. I don't. There's some studies out there that it has maybe a mild improvement in certain activities, but they tend to be with more elite type of athletes. For me, I do personally use it myself. I injured my calf a while back, and I get quite a bit of swelling when my feet are in a hanging out, sitting, and things like that. So I am an advocate of compression. Yes.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for calling. Copper was a big deal. Does it matter?
No.
No. That's sort of a late night TV ad.
Yeah, I don't remember or recall ever reading any research that helps.
Let's talk to Kathy in Seward. Kathy, go ahead.
Hi. You were talking earlier about hip pain.
Yes.
Having to do more with the muscles over the pelvis.
Yes.
I have a granddaughter who does cross-country running and other track running, and she is having trouble that she's actually gone to a physical therapist about regarding her hip.
Yeah.
Is it uncommon for someone so young to have this issue? Is she overdoing it? I guess is my question. She got a big 2 weeks off between three different track seasons, indoor, outdoor, and cross country.
Well, there's a few things that you ask there. Number one, it is common in teenagers, and I've seen several teenagers and specifically runners for the track team that have the thing that I call runner's hip, which is definitely related to muscular problems. Regarding overtraining, there's a lot of research that talks about how kids, especially teenagers and younger, should be doing multiple sports and not just the same sport. So when kids are just running all year long, they are more susceptible to injuries. And there's a popular term called cross-training, which means they do different sports and different activities. and that would be something that she should be doing. And physical therapy wise, the muscle that that I've noticed is a culprit for a lot of the pain is a muscle called the iliacus.
Iliacus. Yeah.
And it's inside the pelvis. The iliacus joins with another muscle called the psoas, and it becomes the iliopsoas muscle. And so those are the psoas is a common muscle that most PTs address. The iliacus is the one that most people don't. And then the other thing is that she would most likely need to build strength. So I'm going to just mention another thing out there, and this is pretty much for all runners. A lot of times people think that taking easy when you're running is a smart idea, and that's not always the greatest idea. So the thing I tell my patients that if you can run your normal pace, you should be running. If you can't, then you should not be running. So, you know, jogging versus running.
Stop.
Yeah, exactly, and taking a break. And if she's been going to a physical therapist, they're pretty good at identifying this and making sure she's not overtraining.
Yeah, it's not something that, you know, you're the only one who you know, addresses that iliacus muscle.
You would want a physical therapist that deals with a lot of runners, though, because runners are a special breed. And so,
yeah
I definitely, there's a difference to a lot of runners out there.
And I'm really asking because I got more of my grandkids that are also into running. Is there a way she can cross-train on her own? In the sense of even if she doesn't want to do a different sport,
right? Yes, absolutely.
There are other exercises that would benefit
again,
her total formation at such a young age.
Yep, that's exactly why you'd want to go to a PT. So they start her off on some other exercises that are outside of what the runners would normally be doing. That's it exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. Not to throw any cold water on marathoners or cross country, but is the human body meant to run 26.2 miles in 1, 2, or 3 hour period?
I would say that, there's definitely controversy about this, and I would say some bodies, yes.
Yeah.
My particular body, I'm 6'3" and 225 pounds. I'm not the greatest body type for a marathon, I don't think. So
what is? What do you think?
I think it's going to be more of a, you know, the lean kind of body type. And people who have run all along.
Yeah.
I don't like to dissuade people from activity, though. So
sure.
If people want to go out and do it, then that's okay. But I do think there are some people like me that would not do well with that kind of choice.
Tim in Duanesburg. Tim, go ahead.
Hi, Matt. I recently had a full knee replacement on the left knee and on July 2nd, and I've got good flexibility, but the edema, the swelling is still there big time.
Yes.
And my activities, I'm trying to get an activity that will reduce it.
Yep.
So I kind of have two questions. What's the best type of exercise to try to combat all the swelling rather than augmenting it?
Yep.
And when or how should I transition from icing, which I've been doing after activity, to the heat that you were talking about?
Well, first of all, it's not unusual for you about a month out to still have swelling after a total knee replacement. So that's you obviously want to get on top of that, though, because that will delay the rest of the progress. As I said earlier, I'm a huge advocate of compression, so you'd be a candidate at this stage to be looking into something like a knee sleeve with a compression sleeve and getting that onto the knee and wearing that throughout the day, and definitely be elevating. And when you're elevating, what you imagine is if you're laying flat on your back, your foot should be pointing towards the ceiling. So the higher you elevate, the more gravity can pull the fluid out of your knee. And if you're still having a lot of edema, I would be having you elevate at least 3-4 times a day, and I'd have you get that compression on right away. Regarding ice and heat at this stage, it's whatever you like. It's not going to do a whole heck of a lot. It's going to be more dependent on you elevating and more dependent on you compressing. And so if I could really stress that compression one more time, I would stress it one more time. And the exercise of choice would be the bicycle because it's the least likely to agitate the knee and it's the most likely to increase the circulation and help you out in that process of getting rid of the edema.
Great. I've been living in a compression sleeve.
Beautiful.
Full leg.
Then you need to elevate more. Mm-hmm. Crank that knee up and do it multiple times a day.
And what about swimming? I'm at the
swimming's
point
fine.
Where...
Yep. Yep. As long as your wound is fully closed, swimming is another great activity. So absolutely.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Tim.
Bye-bye.
Wouldn't compression, though, restrict the blood flow?
No, you don't get so tight that it would restrict it. So you want to have like a gentle compression on it, and that actually increases the circulation to the area.
The good old ACE bandage on the swollen knee or the swollen or the sprained ankle doesn't, as long as you don't make it too tight.
Correct. If you make it too tight, it becomes like a tourniquet and cuts the blood flow off, which is not helpful.
800-348-2551. Mary in Grahamsville, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I injured my ankle and my knee a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And I'm going to PT, but it doesn't seem like I'm working to my potential. I never work up a sweat.
Uh-huh.
And I'm feeling if I don't, I should be doing more. I don't know.
Well, it's hard to know without evaluating myself, but generally speaking, it depends on the condition. So if you came into me with a big swollen ankle, I'm not going to have you do a ton of exercise where you'd work up a sweat. I'm going to be working on getting rid of the swelling and restoring your motion. Same thing is true for the knee. If you have good range of motion and you have not much swelling left in it, then the next thing I'm going to be working on is restoring a thing called proprioception, which is your balance so that you can recover back from the injury and ideally not injure it again. And then after that, we start working on some more aggressive strengthening. So it all depends on what stage you're in and what you're capable of doing. And there's lots of patients who come in where I do primarily manual work and they don't work up a sweat, but they leave feeling better and they can do more activities at home. So it really depends on a few variables there.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. When somebody comes in with a sore knee for physical therapy, how do you work on that knee without causing pain?
Well,
I mean, immediate pain so that you can continue the therapy.
It's all about finding out what's causing the knee pain. And I love telling people oftentimes, if you don't have a specific trauma to the knee, then I like to look above at the hip and see what's happening there or look below at the foot and then see if those are influencing why the knee's hurting. If someone comes in with a swollen knee, I'm going to elevate them, compress them, and do some manual work. So the first few visits, I call it the calm down mode. It's to try to calm the pain down, not do too much too quickly. I'm 21 years of doing this. Early on, I was aggressive and I made people hurt. I try not to do that anymore.
Right.
So it's all about, you know, the art of therapy.
Matthew Goudemote is the owner of Goudemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs, New York. 20 years of experience, including exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. Physical therapy today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. You can tweet your comments and questions, WAMC Vox Pop, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number 800-348-2551. Susan in Poughkeepsie, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Susan. Susan,
hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, Susan.
Hello?
Yes. Are you there?
Hi, this is Susan. I have a question. I just had colon resection surgery 1 month ago. And,
yes.
I'm watching my muscles and everything kind of go to atrophy. I used to work out a lot, and I'm told that I got to just walk and can't do anything that would involve straining my core. And I'm wondering if there's any exercises other than walking that you think would be safe to do until, you know, I heal.
Unfortunately, this is something you really have to depend on the doctor for, because there's a reason why they're restricting your activity. And having gone through that type of surgery, you definitely don't want to overdo and mess it up and then cause more injury. So I would definitely follow the doctor's advice on that one.
Todd in Williamstown. Go ahead, Todd.
Oh, thanks very much. My son is 11 years old, and he has some foot and ankle pain. An orthopedic doctor evaluated him and said that his talus, the bone on the top of his foot, had some abnormal bone growth, and that was interfering with extensor digitorum longus. Since then, we've kind of fluctuated between putting the boot on and, you know, stretching his calf muscles and putting slack on that muscle, and also some PT where they did, like, bear walks and crab walks and duck walks and all those things. But he doesn't want to operate because he's too young.
Right.
Recently, I've been reading about inferior extensor retinaculum strain, but I haven't been able to find that much information on it. Is there anything you can theorize about? I mean, are we just kind of stuck doing the boot and PT, indefinitely until he's old enough to operate? Or what are your thoughts on that?
A couple things. Number one, you definitely don't want to mess with an 11-year-old because a lot of growth is going to be happening. So there are things that, you know, I would depending on how bad pain was and limited motion was. But there's things to work on in the foot, range of motion activities to try to maintain as much as you can, like it sounds like you're doing outside of the boot. But I really, at age 11, I wouldn't want anybody messing too much and then causing permanent problems. So it's one of those cases where you do kind of have to wait and see as he's growing. I remember early when my son was younger, he had this, he toed in a lot. And a PT friend of mine thought he should have some inserts in his shoes. And I thought that was ridiculous because my son wasn't done growing. So let's see what happens to the foot as he grows, as long as it's not impeding things. So with
this. Yeah, he definitely has a lot of kind of natural plantar flexion, you know, shortened calf. And
yep.
What are your thoughts about the retinaculum strain, though? Is that something you see?
I don't see a lot of that, no. And because there's a abnormality in the talus, I would definitely defer to that. And it's hard to say over the radio, too, to evaluate the foot and see what the range of motion is like, see what the joint mobility is like. So, I'd play around with things like that and see if there's something else that can be done. But an abnormal talus is definitely going to influence the rest of the foot and how it's going to move. So,
okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Todd. 800-348-2551. Physical therapy today on Vox Pop. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, practicing aesthetic plastic surgery, working to help people improve their appearance and well-being, offering cool sculpting, treatment, and more. CAPEKplasticsurgery.com. Blue Sky Bicycles, Saratoga Springs, New York, now offering pedal assist electric bikes to the Capital Region, a new way to enjoy the outdoors. Test rides available. BlueSkyBicycles.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Curtis Lumber, providing home improvement products and advice to homeowners and contractors, supporting local communities for over a century. CurtisLumber.com. And Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, specialty sports eyewear, sunglasses, and eye exams since 1953. Sheehy Opticians.com.
Physical therapy today on Vox Pop. Matthew Goodemote, owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs, at 800-348-2551. An email from Deborah, who's got some arthritis in her right hip. The doctor said significant arthritis in the right hip. Is physical therapy something that can treat arthritis?
Yeah, we do quite a bit with people who have arthritis. The term significant makes me a little apprehensive. So I'd have to, I have a very similar policy with most joints, and that's to check how much motion you have. And if you can improve the motion, then you can often build on that and often keep the surgeon away. But if it's severe arthritis where we just can't get any motion out of it, there's like a breaking point once you get past it. It's very challenging to overcome.
800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. And it's Michael who's on the road. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I've been having a problem with my right elbow. Sometimes the pain in it is from, it feels like if you hit your funny bone, you bang your elbow.
Yeah.
And I get that by itself by just like lifting a cup of coffee.
Yes.
Or lifting up something, not even really heavy, or raising my arm up high. Sometimes the pain is in the muscle on the top, or sometimes I get like a stinging feeling.
Yes.
Do
you ever have pain above the elbow up into the upper arm or shoulder area?
None at all.
Okay. And nothing up in the neck area either.
Right.
Okay.
And I haven't banged it or anything.
No, there's a few different things. When you get tingling, that's often indicating a nerve, and there's a nerve. The funny bone is actually a nerve that we hit. It's called the ulnar nerve, and there's a little groove right by the elbow, and it can happen from just putting pressure on it. Right now, I'm sitting at the counter here, and my elbow is resting on the counter, and because there's no padding in there, you can have something if you're doing that for sustained periods of time where you'll get that tingling. When you're getting it into the muscle belly itself, on the top part of the arm, we call that tennis elbow. And that can also happen very similarly from repetitive type of movements or sustained activities. So those kind of things are treatable for sure. And the way we assess that is we poke around and we push you on your lateral epicondyle, which is where the tendon inserts into the bone. And if you squeal because it hurts like crazy, then
Yeah, if you touch it, sometimes it seems like you always whack something after it hurt. You know, it's like you cut finger, you always hit it.
Yeah.
And if I lean it against a wall or it just kind of brushes a door, or if I press on it, right where you're talking about, it really...
Sounds like you have a good case of tendonitis. The first thing we do in therapy is we do some things like modalities of ultrasound and do some manual work to free up the tissue. And then we teach you exercises, anything from stretching exercises to the beginning of strengthening exercises. This is also something that's quite treatable with a doctor, though. They can do a cortisone injection to calm the pain down. And typically they would then send you on to therapy where you build the strength back up and try to avoid this happening in the future.
Nothing about banding it or anything.
You can try that too. Depends on where you're at with it. So the first thing, I don't like to add things if I can avoid it. So I would try to do physical therapy and see if that alone calms it down. And they do have straps you can put on that reduce the tension on the tendon itself, which can help. And they also, I will sometimes, depending on how bad it is, do different type of taping techniques. The shortcut way to alleviate that type of pain is an injection because it's usually pretty effective. If you don't want to get injections or take medicines, then the next route would definitely be physical therapy.
But on the injection part, how long does that last? Is it
Depends if there's an underlying reason for it, you do have to deal with the underlying reason. So we'll have some people that they have repetitive movements in their job, for example, and that's what's causing the problem. And so you can get the injection, which will help to take away the pain. But if you don't deal with the underlying problem, it'll just stir right back up again. So there's no way for me to answer that question, how long it lasts. It depends on why you're getting it. So.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling. 800-348-2551. Great Barrington in the Berkshires. Lillian, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yes, my question is very similar to the gentleman that was just on the line.
Yes.
I've been involved in sports my entire life, from softball to volleyball and now to pickleball. And about 2 months ago, I started to experience some pain in my elbow. Wasn't constant. It would travel up the back of my upper arm, not into the shoulder. And when I go to bed at night, every night, my pinky and my ring finger, I wake up in the middle of the night a few times, they fall asleep.
Okay.
So I did some reading. I know there's something called pubital tunnel syndrome. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what this could possibly be. But I do wear a compression when I play, and that seems to help.
Okay.
And the pain isn't all the time. It just comes and goes. Some mornings I can't even brush my teeth because it pains me just to bend the elbow.
Right.
But I've noticed, too, that the elbow with the problem, I'm unable to fully extend that arm like I am my other arm. There's a little bit of a bend in it now.
Yes. So there's a few things. When people get symptoms up in the upper arm, I like to clear the neck to make sure that's not involved in it at all. And when you talk about your ring and pinky, that's a specific nerve root that can come from the neck. The last thing you just mentioned, though, that at the elbow, there's a bone inside there called your radius. So in the forearm, ulnar and radius. And the radial head is right at the elbow. And there's sometimes where the radial head isn't working properly. So when people come in and they have especially the difficulty or pain with bending the elbow, that's one of the first things that I personally check. And I'll go in and I'll do some, they're called mobilizations to the area, and see if we can restore the motion. And also, again, I would check your neck right away just to make sure it's not involved. A quick, easy way to check the neck, by the way, if you happen to have it at night, is to don't move the arm at all and just move your neck around and see if you can influence the symptoms, either better or worse. And that would kind of lead you. And then the last thing I'll say is sometimes it's both. You can have something that's coming from the neck and the elbow, and they just happen to be on the same side. So you want to make sure you keep open to the possibility of dealing with both conditions.
Okay. Do stretching exercises help at all, or ice and decompression?
It's going to totally depend on really the source of it, because if it is, okay, like, for example, the radial head, then the best thing that I've found is just doing the mobilizations. And I had this one woman who came in. She was pregnant, and she was knitting something for her new baby, and her radial head was not functioning properly. I did a mobilization. It took all of 30 seconds, and the pain went away, and that was the end of it. So there's times where it's literally that simple. Yeah.
Whether you say immobilization entails what?
My hands or someone other hands. Yeah.
Manipulating it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yep. So I use a distraction technique, and I'll also just use my thumb to mobilize the radial head itself. So.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate all of the information.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling 800-348-2551. An email from Jen. She makes her living with dexterity through crafts, sharpening, and computer work. How do I reduce the occurrence of carpal tunnel? Is it something that could cause bigger problems down the line? Carpal tunnel, that's something that's a late 20th century, early 21st century thing.
Yeah. So the carpal tunnel, there's a right at the palm of your hand, right where the pads at the base of the hand are, there's a little groove. And in that groove, there runs a nerve called your median nerve. And there's also, it's a neurovascular bundle, so there's blood vessels in there too. So with carpal tunnel, again, I'm a big manual. We do a lot of manual therapy at my clinic. So I go right after the forearms to make sure the muscles in the forearms are nice and mobile. And then I do a stretch where I take essentially the thumb and the pinky, and I try to pull them apart like you're opening up a crab or a clam or something like that. And that's just a manual technique. On your own, you can do the prayer stretch, which is putting your hands together. And you place them, I'm doing it online right now, and you place it at your chest, and then you move your hands down towards your waist, but keep the palms touching, and you'll feel stretch in your forearms. If you do it one hand at a time, you just basically grab your fingers and you extend your arm out straight, and you pull your fingers backwards, causing a stretch in the bottom part of your hand, again, the palm of the hand. And those are the things. And then depending on what's going on, you can do other physical therapy things to improve that.
Mike in Saratoga Springs. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Hi, Dr. Goodmote.
Hello.
I just a simple question. I don't know if there's too late for it, but I signed up to play some golf, and I haven't golfed in like a year. And the last time I did, I kind of got some pain in my hip after. So I'm wondering, I have to golf tomorrow, so I'm wondering if we don't get ringed up. What any stretches I could do for, because those are muscles you typically don't use. I do other sports, but I don't do golf.
Right. Oh, the best thing at this stage with a day left would be just to go out and swing the golf club a little bit. The very motion of swinging, so as you take the club back, you're going to get a rotation at your hips. And I would do it to both directions. So I would swing, and then, you know, if you're right-handed, swing right-handed, then turn and try to swing left-handed just to get the hips mobile. I do dynamic warm-ups with most of my patients, and that consists of just like a basic high knee march. Then you do butt kicks just to get the thigh stretched. And then I do straight leg kicks, which stretches the hamstrings. And then I do a side marching just to get the rotators in there. I also would recommend some spinal things, though, where you're doing some forward bend, some backwards bend, and some twisting motions. And all in all, okay, if you're going golfing tomorrow, just make sure you get there a little bit early. And so you can warm up and swing a few. And if they have a driving green there, just or a driving range there, take a few light swings to kind of get the blood flow going.
Okay, great. We got a lot of homework.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much, and stay out of the rough. 800-348-2551. You wouldn't think golf would cause a lot of problems, but like Tiger Woods had a bad back for years. Yeah. It kept him off the tour.
Yeah, it definitely has to do with the amount of torque you're generating in there. Generally speaking, you want your hips to be quite mobile and your lower back to be quite stable. And if you looked at Tiger early on, his lower back was cranking pretty hard on there. Yeah. So I think a lot of what he's done in his technique is to get the hips more mobile and the upper back more mobile and not so much in the lower back.
Mohammed in Clifton Park, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My wife has a stiff shoulder, left-hand side.
Yes.
It's been going on like this for almost 15 months.
Oh, wow.
And now her pinky is like bended. It wouldn't even open. It's like really stiff, like a bone.
Yes.
She went to orthopedic. They gave her a two cortisone shot.
Yes.
They did a bone scan. They did X-rays. They did a CT scan. They did everything. The last thing was they did was to give them another cortisone shot, and they never called us back again.
Okay.
What was the result or what was it? And she went to a therapist in Union Street.
Yep.
The therapist told her that you have to tell your doctor they give you anesthesia and they pull your arm up, your shoulder up.
Okay.
So she spoke to the doctor. The doctor says, no, I cannot do this. I cannot.
Okay.
What is the situation? If there's nothing wrong with her arm.
Yeah.
Nothing is wrong with her shoulder. They can't find anything in CT scan. They can't find anything in the bone. They can't find anything in the blood. They can't find nothing, absolutely nothing.
When you say the shoulder, where are you talking about the shoulder? Are you talking about in the shoulder blade or are you talking in the shoulder itself?
Her whole left side from the shoulder down all the way down to her arm.
Yeah, it's the neck, that's why. So when you have pain in the shoulder blade area, the cervical spine is often the reason for it. And also the fact that she's having problems with her pinky, that's a specific nerve that goes down the arm into the hand. So I'm just based on what you're telling me, I'm thinking it's more the neck than the shoulder itself.
We've talked about pain today on the program, Matthew. What about that? I don't know how to describe it, tingling feeling.
Yeah.
It's not pain, but you know something's going on.
Yeah, so the main cause of tingling is often a nerve. So if you're compressing a nerve like we were talking about where my elbow's on the table and you're hitting the ulnar nerve, you'll get tingling that way. The cervical spine, a lot of times the way it alerts you that there's a problem is you'll get a tingling down in the hand or in the forearm. And that's one of the signs that it's actually coming from the neck as opposed to like a muscle or something like that.
I saw some stand-up comedian say, you know, you're getting older when you injure yourself sleeping. Do you have come in with sleep injuries?
I have. Yes, we do. Yeah, you wake up with pain. Absolutely.
So what is that usually? Just from sleeping the wrong way?
Yeah, exactly. And again, the spine is notorious for this. And one of the reasons is the discs of our back, they go out drinking at night. So they get plump. They fill up with fluid. Mm-hmm. And if you have an area of weakness and you wake up and that fluid just collects right in that area of weakness.
Chris in Boston Spa, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Chris. Go ahead, Chris. Hi, Chris. Are you there? I'm afraid not. Let's move on. Kathy in Liberty. Kathy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a 75-year-old woman, and back in October, I had total hip replacement, the anterior procedure.
Mm-hmm.
On my left hip. And I did physical therapy afterwards for up to the max that Medicare allowed.
Yes.
And I'm still doing the exercises at home, but I still need, I can't seem to recover the strength in my hip.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you've run into that before.
Well, the olden days when I first started, it wasn't uncommon at all for something like that to take a full year to recover from. So the fact that it's in October, you still have plenty of time to build the strength up. The issue comes in that you have to keep changing and progressing. So the exercises you're doing at home, it could be that they're too easy and you need to advance those exercises and make them a little bit more challenging. And then the other thing is a lot of people are afraid of weights and adding resistance to the exercises you're doing. So I'm a big advocate of increasing resistance to build strength. And sometimes that means being in a gym where you're actually lifting weight. So doing exercises like squats or deadlifts and things like that. And we have a lot of our patients using that type of exercise. It is, at this stage, you should be getting stronger and stronger for sure, but it can take a while.
Well, I've moved from, you know, using crutches to using a cane.
Yep.
And now I'm trying to use my walking poles as much as possible because it makes my hip work harder.
Yes.
And I'm swimming a lot in the summer.
Yep.
But, okay, so you think adding weights,
It's a possibility, but if you just mentioned the hiking part, so find some hills and walk up them. That will definitely be more challenging to the legs. And with the sticks, absolutely, I'm a huge I like those more than I like a cane. I like that people get them because they get a better reciprocal pattern.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We're just about out of time. About a minute left. We just mentioned prevention. You said weightlifting, go to the gym. Exercise, how do you prevent going to the physical therapist? Not to put you out of business,
So you start with mobility. So you want to make sure you keep your joints moving as well as you can, and then keeping the soft tissue, your muscles, as mobile as you can. And then the last exercise or the last recommendation is the strengthening thing. So more and more we're seeing that people who get into the gym and exercise or get instruction on exercise because you can do it from home, the more you're using strengthening exercises, the less likely you're going to need a physical therapist.
We are out of time. My apologies to those we left on the line. I'd like to thank our guest, physical therapist Matthew Gudimot of Saratoga Springs, for being with us today. Support comes from Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, offering landscape design services including privacy hedges, perennial gardens, sod and lawn installation, pond and water features, and more. Whitney'sFarm.com. Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival presenting Frisco Kid, a comedic Western, and Gene Wilder and Harrison Ford. August 5th, 7 p.m. at Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York. Discussion and dessert reception to follow. SaratogaJewishCulturalFestival.org. Hyde Collection in Glens Falls Horse and Rider Exhibition includes works by Degas, Remington, Cartier-Bresson, Lyon, and Wilkie. HydeCollection.org for details. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Specializing in European car sales and service over 30 years, QFCC.com. Our engineer today, Zach Malloy. Carol Lapani took your calls. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Brian Shields. Tomorrow, astronomer Bob Berman returns to show the answer to your questions about the stars in the sky. Stay tuned now for a news update.